a conversation is going to start from the Gospel of Thomas. However, it's going to go around the world and come back to new beginning for all. Distraction, attachment, what are these things? Over the eons of years, those who have been called, call them the elect of God, call them ministers, call them saints, prophets, and sages, those who have had that divine spark, that wisdom, they've always told us not to be distracted from God and not to be attached to things that will become a gulf between us and the Creator. So, countless stories about distractions and attachments have been spoken, and they often highlight our human focus is easily diverted by desires, worries, or material comforts, often leading to missed opportunities or inner turmoil. We know when something grabs us, oh, it's not letting go until it keeps riding us like a horse. These stories frequently emphasize the need for mindfulness. It's like, rein yourself back, come back home where you belong, the inner sanctum. So emphasizing on the need for mindfulness, detachment, and prioritizing what is truly essential. So we're going to hear, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I'm going to throw some stories there. Some you've heard me talk about before, just to bring that pudding in so that we can have a joyful buffet. So in the Gospel of St. Thomas, Jesus said, and this is Jesus' illustrations, and that's not the first time Jesus has used stories. One of them we're going to talk about, Mary and Martha. Jesus said, a man had guests. When he had prepared the dinner, he sent his servants to invite the guests. For those who don't say, there's no Gospel of St. Thomas, this same story you can find in the book of Luke 14, 16 to 24, and Matthew 22, 1 to 10. These are parables. When he had prepared the dinner, he sent his servant to invite the guests. He went to the first and said to him, my master invites you. He said, I have claims against some merchants. They are coming to me this evening. I must go and give them instructions. I ask to be excused from the dinner. So the servant again went to another and said to him, my master invites you. He said to him, I have bought a house and I have been called away for a day. I shall have no time. Now, we all know who the master is here. And we're not talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the creator of all there is, the owner of life itself. How many times has God invited us and we've had excuses upon excuses? So let's go on. He went to another and said to him, my master invites you. Simple thing is, you know, everybody can understand that even if you have an accent, you are invited. He said to him, I have bought a farm and I'm going to collect the rent. I shall not be able to come. I ask to be excused. Simple words and simple rejection. I ask to be excused. The servant returned and said to his master, those whom you invited to the dinner have excused themselves. The master said to the servant, go out to the street and bring back whomever you find to have dinner. Buyers and merchants will not enter the places of my Father. When you get in that urge to go meditate, oh, let me just take a bite of my sandwiches first. That might lead to other things. Let me turn off the TV. Oh, I need to go for a fresh air. Whatever it is that gets us, there's something that doesn't want us to sit there and commune with God. Excuses of the invited guest. Each guest declines the invitation because of worldly concerns. Business, property, social obligations, possessions. So the master's response. The original guests exclude themselves by their own priorities. The invitation then goes out to others, those free enough to respond. And all of you have heard me say this. When that divine spark calls you, you got to drop everything. Everything can wait, but God cannot be kept waiting. Well, we always say, well, God will always be there. This one may not be there. The sales might not be there. So let me go do that. You know, and I'll come back to God. Some have said that and they never came back. Because at that moment, God said, okay, you are coming home. But if you had spent that few minutes with me, you would have been joyous of your way home. And Jesus emphasized, those consumed by accusation and commerce cannot enter the Father's kingdom. Their attachment to buying and selling blinds them to the true feast. Now, this is where the emphasis that I want us to take home with us, if we don't even take anything else home. The kingdom of God is not denied to anyone. Because we all come from there. We are the ultimate child of God, not the angels. I've seen masters tell me, they said, the ultimate form closer to God than any, it's not even the angels. It's the human, you and I. Why? Because we've been given the freedom to do as we want. We usually say, well, daddy, you can wait. But we forget we were once a child that needed the mama, that needed the daddy. Every day, mama goes, you see the kid runs after, you know, after the dad. But as they mature, like, okay, I want to go hang out with my friends. What happened to the one you can't do without? And that is it for us. The kingdom is not denied to anyone, but many exclude themselves because they prefer the world's desires. Banquet. Now, let me bring my stories in. I apologize ahead of time if I have not shared these stories with all of you. But it's been in my head for so long, I thought I have spoken about it over. The two monks and the woman. And you can go read it on your own. A senior monk and a junior monk were traveling together and came to a river with a strong current. A young woman was struggling to cross, So the senior monk lifted her, carried her across, and set her down on the other side. This brief story, what he didn't go into is that the woman was dressed to the hilt. She was going to a wedding. It's not that she couldn't cross the water, the river, because it's shallow enough, but because she's dressed in all that, you know. But the, even though that river is shallow, but the current is fast. So if she had gone here, her clothing would be soaked up. She might even be swept off. And she knew she has to be at that wedding or else she will never hear the end of it for the rest of her life. Whether that is true or not, but that's what she has in her head, right? So she was, the monk were there, they were on their journey, said, don't worry, don't lose one ounce, I'll carry you. Put your arms around my neck. And he scooped her up and put her on that side. And then, and the young monk was just unbelievably like, huh? What did this one do? You've gone against the cardinal rule of being a monk. You cannot touch a woman. You can't do that. So they continued their journey after he did, but the junior monk was furious. He couldn't get it off his chest. After several hours, he burst out. He didn't burst out because the senior one said, what's going on with you? I sense you are, you know. So he waited for the, he was thinking, should I say? He said, yeah, okay. Master, you broke your vows. How could you pick that woman up? The master smiled and replied, yes, I picked her up. But I also put her down at the other side of the river. You, on the other hand, have been carrying her all day. That's our first lesson about attachment. That's why they encourage us. Leave the past alone. Even if it's good experiences, leave it alone. Because the experience you might have now might even surpass that. And leave the future alone. Be fully present. No need for attachment if you want to evolve and be one with God. God is not God of the past or the future. He's God of now. And you are that ultimate child of God. You need to be present now. Attachment to past events, that's the lesson. To past judgments and emotions is a heavy distraction that prevents us from living in the present. You see how distraction attachment comes together. Now, let me go to this other one. Our next story is what we call the prayer of the frog. Because this same story applied to me, happened to me at this ashram a few weeks ago. And I was instructed, this is an opportunity, not something to run away from. But let me tell you this story. The prayer of the frog. Brother Bruno was saying his prayers, but he could hear frogs vying with each other by the intensity of their croaking. If you live near a pond, that once they get into it, and then you hear the one with the basin. So Brother Bruno, he tried to concentrate on his crucifix. That is the cross, you know, in case. In an attempt to drown out the racket, he recited his prayers aloud in an increasingly loud voice, but it was useless because you can't match those frogs. The obsessive croaking of the frogs was upsetting his concentration, and he was praying, he exclaimed, "Silence, I am praying." Because Brother Bruno is a saint, so his orders inspired respect immediately. At once, nature became silent. Just as a fire goes out, and complete silence reigned over the marsh, over the pond. Brother Bruno noted from his window that the toads had stopped croaking, that the herons' beaks were closed, and the flies that remained quite still on the reeds no longer dared to buzz in a wind that had fallen silent. Everything became still, just like when Jesus said, "Be still." It didn't matter what nature. When that's power of God, that decree goes out, you got to obey it. So everything fell into that silence. Now, Brother Bruno contented, he returned to his prayers. But another voice was heard, an inner voice in him. This small voice said to him, "Hey, Bruno." And what if God derived great pleasure in the croaking of the frogs than in the chanting of your psalms? Shocked, the saint replied, "Well, what can God find so pleasurable in the croaking of a frog?" And what's more, at full volume, why did God invent noise? Saint Bruno returned to his window and allowed nature to resume its course. Because he had that inner voice. Okay. The insects and frogs filled the silence of the night with their subdued rhythm. Bruno listened to this chant, no longer resisting it. And at once his heart beat in accord with the universe. From that day on, he prayed ceaselessly. His days passed in continuous prayer. He was constantly reminded of God by the croaking of the frogs. My own experience was there was construction going on here. And he was like, and I was in meditation and the whole thing started. Initially, I ran like, "What the nonsense is this? Why the..." But I was still an opportunity. So I had to duke it out. And I'm glad I duke it out. Because now it reminded me of the old days where they say, you can sit in the marketplace and you know, let that presence of God, that silence, you go in. You don't need to stop anything. If you dwell deeply in God, then all of that will be. There's a monk. Let me just give you a quick story. There was once a secluded village, which was located in a faraway valley. The villagers had everything in abundance, and life was easy going. Who doesn't want to be in that place? They call it paradise, isn't it? But because the road to reach the village was long and difficult, almost no one ever visited it. Many who tried to reach the village with the hopes of living there in peace and abundance have turned back after seeing how difficult and dangerous the trip was. The inhabitants of the village were particularly happy with their monk, who shared with them all the knowledge he had and provided spiritual and moral guidance. Since the monk was getting pretty old, he wrote to his monastery where he came from. It's like if God from here sent all of you to other places and you do God's work and your time coming to them, then God said, "Okay, time for you now to for somebody to come and take replace you." So Let's go on with the story. So he wrote to his monastery where he came from. The letter was short, to the point. I am old. Send one monk, which I will teach everything I know. Send someone who is mindful of distractions. The head monk of the monastery called together all of his disciples and read the letter to them. Then he said, I would like to send 5 of you to the village. Who will volunteer? The monks looked at the head monk confused, and one finally asked, what was on everyone's mind? Why do you want to send 5 of us when the monk is only asking for 1? Do we get this? The head monk replied calmly with a smile, you will have your answer soon. Those who allows God wisdom to dwell with them, they know, they follow that in total, the instruction. You will have your answer soon. I will send 5 of you, and even though I'm not certain that one of them will reach the village. The trip is long and there are many distractions. The chosen 5 we encounter. Which of you believe they can make the trip? The monks laughed as they believed they all possessed the ability to be mindful of distractions and the physical stamina which was needed to make the trip. They were so sure of themselves. Well, they taught us here, this is what we focus on. We don't get distracted, we are mindful and all of that. The young monks argued that the head monk was overreacting, sending 5 of them. They tried to convince him that one monk would be enough, but the head monk insisted, even though other monks laughed at his idea. How many times did they laugh at Jesus? It's filled with the spirit of Beelzebub. Look at that. Finally, 5 volunteers stepped up and received final instructions from the head monk before leaving on their journey. Not long since they have started their journey, they came across a village where everyone was very nice to them. Soon the monks found out that the village priest had died and that the villagers needed a spiritual guide. They were willing to pay the monk, which would stay handsomely. He would also get his own house and many other perks. Who doesn't like the perks? It didn't take much convincing on the part of the villagers when one of the monks suddenly decided to stay. The monk explained to his fellow monks that situations like this call upon them to provide spiritual guidance, and that this is his calling. So the 4 monks went on, and the 5th monk stayed at the village where he would live in a nice home, filled with food and many riches a monk does not need. The next day, when they were on the outskirts of a neighborhood kingdom, it just so happened that the king was passing by them on his horse. Since the day was coming to an end, the king decided to invite the monks to camp with him and his guard during the night and share his food. The king was happy to host the 4 monks and listen to their life stories. After some time, when it was late in the night, the monks wanted to go to sleep. As they were leaving, the king asked the youngest monk to stay for a bit, as he wanted to discuss something with him. When the king and the young monk were finally alone, the king had a suggestion for him. This is what the king said. After hearing what you have learned and how you think, I believe that you will be the perfect husband for my daughter. Well, let's be sure. There are some monks who get married, right? You are young. This is the king still talking. You are young, smart, and willing to learn. That is something that I have been looking for in a groom for my only daughter. If you accept to take her hand in marriage, to take care of her and the kingdom, and to learn everything I want to teach you, I promise you the kingdom will be yours to rule when I'm gone. The young monk was overwhelmed with the offer and accepted it. In the morning, he shared his decision with his fellow monks, said his thanks, and went on his way to the kingdom with the king. The three remaining monks suddenly started to realize what the head monk was talking about. And so they decided to make a pact to watch out for each other and to be more mindful of distractions so as to not end up like their two brothers. As they continued their journey, one day a storm broke out and they had no shelter. So they decided to continue their journey until they find a safe place to rest for the night. They were walking even past nightfall and soon got lost. Trying to stay calm, they continued walking in heavy rain and pitch darkness when suddenly they spotted a light. It was a house. In the house lived a woman who lost her husband some years ago and was left alone with no family. The woman welcomed the monks in, prepared a warm meal, and made beds for them where they could rest. One monk got sick, and the woman insisted they wait with her until the monk that is sick gets well. She cooked for them and paid special attention to the monk who is sick. The other two monks helped her around the house as much as they could. When the monk that was sick finally got better, he confessed to his two friends that he had fallen in love and wishes to stay with her. The two tried to convince him that she was just a distraction, but the monk in love wouldn't listen. The two monks saw that it was useless to try to convince him, so they continued their journey. The whole time, the two discussed how easily the three companions, brothers, were distracted from their goal. They continued their journey talking about their faith and their loyalty to the task at hand, which means they need to get there. Onward, Christian soldier, right? They continued their journey talking about their faith and their loyalty to them. Then one day, when the two monks were passing a village, they suddenly got surrounded by a crowd. The villagers were atheists and could not help themselves to challenge the two monks about their religion. It did not take long when one of the monks was passionately defending his religion and tried to win the crowd with his knowledge and wits. The villagers prided themselves on being knowledgeable, knowing things, and countered every argument the monk had. The discussion went on for a couple of days when finally one of the two monks decided that it was time to continue their journey. The monk who wanted to leave confronted the other monk, but he did not want to hear anything about leaving until he would prove to the villagers that they need to change their minds and accept his religion. What did Jesus tell us? Don't pull the pearl in front. Don't throw your pearl in front of it. So after that, the other monk saw that his friend would not leave the village. The last monk decided to continue his journey. It took him only a couple of days, but he finally reached the village he was supposed to. There he went straight to the old monk, where he would start his training. The old monk inquired about the monk's journey, and the young monk told him everything that has happened. The old monk smiled. I see the head monk understood my message. You see, my dear friend, the path to this village is actually not that hard, but it is full of distraction. And what we as a village have managed to achieve is not that hard to achieve when you live in the kingdom of God. As you have learned on your path, getting here, the secret to achieving results is to be mindful of distractions. And with that, my dear friend, we have concluded your first lesson. I'm going to end with the story of Martha and Mary. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to. Martha and Mary, attachment to productivity. In this biblical account, Jesus visits two sisters, Martha is distracted with much serving. That's what Jesus said. I'm worried. Why Mary sits and listens to him? When Martha complains, Jesus notes that she's anxious about many things, but only one thing is necessary. You can go and read about Martha and Mary. The lesson there is good activity, service, productivity can become distractions and unhealthy attachments when they become worries that separate us from our core purpose of peace. So let us be mindful as we continue this journey as children of God. The distractions will come. You can avoid it. But if you are mindful, guess what? You will be buoyant. You will overcome the distraction. You won't let it get you. Attachments, they are all around you. You can't avoid it. But if you are mindful, you will not get attached to whatever it is that is trying to get you. Bad habits, new habits, coffee drinking, banana eating, whatever they may be, shopping or listening to music. So, like Jesus wanted us to know in the book of Luke and Matthew and the Gospel of St. Thomas, be wary of distractions and attachments. If you can avoid that, they take you away from ignorance. That avoidance take you away from ignorance, and then you can dwell happily thereafter in the kingdom of God that is inside of you. May we always be victorious over sickness and suffering and the causes of suffering. Amen.